Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, June 12th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 70, starting with the third paragraph. If we have been thorough through two paragraphs ending with chunks of truth about yourself, which will close out the chapter, How It Works, and the comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Matt M., The 12 Traditions, Kathy G., and the readers of the text are Terry A. H., Stephanie L., and Sherry K. B. The share ID for Monday, June 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,523. That's 11523. And for Tuesday, May 29th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,524, 11524. Our OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I will now ask Matt M. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here are the 12 traditions. Here are the 12 steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives would become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so, injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. So I stood in praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt M., and I will now ask Kathy G. to read the 12 traditions.
Okay, well, thanks, Mo. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Illinois. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Note to self, do not give your puppy a squeaky toy before you read the 12 traditions. Okay, number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Oh, God, help me. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Oh, thank
you. Thank you, Kathy G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 70, starting with the third paragraph, if we have been thorough, reading through two paragraphs, ending that chapter, Chunks of Truth About Yourself, and the comments will be on both paragraphs. I'll now ask Terry A. H. to begin.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Terry A. H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentment. We have begun to comprehend the futility and the fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision in the inventory of your grocery handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And let me stop my timer. Here we go. I'm grateful to be here this morning. And so this is the ending of step 4. And I don't know about you, but for me, as I did this inventory, I saw how I lived entirely on selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear, and the lack of considerations for others. And what I learned, I'm going to focus on, if you've already made a decision, which is step 3, in an inventory of your grocery handicaps, which is step 4, you've made a beginning. That being so, you've swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And I learned that, you know, I'm not writing inventory to find out about myself or to gain self-knowledge, because, you know, we've learned through, you know, through the first 3 steps that self-knowledge is not going to solve my problem. And if you remember when we read in the beginning of step 4, it's really, this whole process is to really, it's to face and be rid of the things in myself which are blocking me from God, myself, and others. And what I've learned by this inventory, it's my old ideas and attitudes about life, and it's the symptoms of which my defects of character that stand in the way of this access to this power. And I've learned through, you know, doing, you know, what I've discovered is the purpose is to discover the obstacles in myself so that the grace of God can enter into me and expel the obsession, and so that I can live a spiritual way of life. And I have a favorite teacher that would say, you know, through the step four, I always laugh because I think of him. He always said, I found out that my life turned out to be my own fault as I did step four. And so by swallowing, digesting some big chunks of truth about myself, I get to nourish and I can grow into a new way of living. And I'm grateful for this process because if I'm not writing inventory in step four, I'll be living inventory with my life. So thanks for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Terry A.H., for getting us started. And I will now open the lines up for those of you who'd like to share.
Jen A.
Chaya P.
Kristen R.
Kathy G.
Marilyn T.
I love this. We have a few more. Okay.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB. All right, we'll stop there. I have Jen A, Haya P, Kristen R, Kathy G, Marilyn T, and Sherry KB. I'll start with Jen A, followed by Haya P. Go ahead, Jen, you're on.
Good morning, and thank you. Thank you for your service today. My name is Jen A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Littleton, Colorado. And I love this. It is a good beginning, and it's always a beginning. Every single day I begin, because what I need to remember is that I haven't finished, I haven't arrived, and I'm never done with these steps. This is a personal inventory for me that I take on a daily basis. It's a daily process, and taking this action that we've just done here smashes my self-will. And even the better part is that we're reading today is that it gives me access to the power that I need, because I came here powerlessness, and I continue to have a manageable life when I do so. That's staying in fit spiritual condition for me. So how do I get through the resentments and the fears and my sex conduct? Well, I have to find it in the facts, right? The fact is what is my part. I've now faced the truth, right? And the best part here in this last paragraph, or the second to last paragraph, or last paragraph, is to have a faith, right? The faith is what gets me through. So the biggest F word in this program to me is fear. It's a four-letter word, and it robs me of everything. It robs me of all my joy. It robs me of good relationships. It robs me from everything. And so when I take that four-letter word, fear, and I replace it with faith, and it's so beautiful, right? And the faith is I just have to believe with a strong conviction in my heart, you know, that somebody or something is going to do this for me. I can't do it on myself. Up to this point, I knew I couldn't. And I was talking to somebody on the line yesterday, and I said, you know what? This fact-facing, fact-finding process, this was harder for me than putting the food down. And it continues to be on a daily basis. Putting the food down, that was easy compared to this. This is the hardest part, but it's the rest of my life. But I get to do it not with the four-letter word of fear, but the five-letter word of faith. So I'm excited as God wants to move me in the direction, and he wants to guide me. And as I'm reminded when I'm out there making my morning run today, I'm hearing that 80s song on the radio singing, every little step I take, he will be there, right? So just remember that as you go throughout your day. God is with you. Take him with you wherever you go. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jen A. Haya P., followed by Kristen R. Haya, press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, hi. Can you hear me now? I thought I was unmuted.
Yes, now
you
I can.
You can hear me now. Okay, great. Yes. Hi, this is Haya P. from Denver, Colorado, not too far from Littleton. So a few minutes away. I'm grateful to be here. So what I get from this, you know, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we've written down a lot, we've begun to learn tolerance, patience, goodwill toward all men, even our enemies. We look at them as sick people. We listed the people. You know, what I love about this program of action, and what I love about what I was saying last night to me, that my favorite line in the book is, we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Because this was written in 1935 or 36, and there's so much more that we continue to learn as we grow and live and live with trying to develop that God consciousness and being conscious of the fact that there is God, a higher power. And so what's happened for me is that I used to look at lots of people as sick, right? That was the way the book taught me to see people, so that I can turn it around. Well, they're sick, and that makes me feel a little more compassion for them, and then I can open my heart a little bit. But what I have found most recently in my experience is that most of the people really aren't sick. They're just humans, you know, trying to do this life like me. And there are sick people, there are, but for the most part, the people that I'm kind of, when I have my interactions and for whatever reason there's some tension, it's usually because of me and just where my thinking is in that moment. And that's where the dishonesty in that column, when we talk about dishonesty in the fourth step, that's what's really come up for me, is that the dishonesty is thinking that my experience, my feelings are coming from what that person did or what that person didn't do or what that organization, agency, job, boss, kid, spouse, mother, mother-in-law did, didn't do, said, didn't say. And that's not the truth. It's never coming from out there. It's always coming from just my perception in the moment about what's going on outside of me. And that has been a tremendous freedom, that I really have felt that I walk more in harmony with people around me, as opposed to seeing people as sick, except for the people in the rooms who, like, I have no problem talking to, right? But realizing that the people outside, every one of us, is walking around doing the very best we can. And that has been a gift of the ongoing experience of living and the journey. So I'm grateful. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Haya P. Kristen R., followed by Kathy G. Kristen, press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive eater in Virginia. I needed to hear these paragraphs this morning, and I want to focus on the last three words of the paragraph, truth about yourself. It doesn't say truth about the people around you who are bothering you. It doesn't say truth about, you know, what your kids are doing wrong, and if only they changed that you would be fine. It doesn't say, you know, truth about how your spouse really is. It's truth about yourself. And in my experience, working step 4 and continuing to do 10 steps, it always comes back to, what is the truth about myself that I'm hiding? So I'm resentful at my husband, and it comes back to, it's because I'm in fear. It's because I'm in shame. And the truth about myself is that I have a deeply rooted sense of self-loathing. But if I'm really working this program, then I'm going right back to the first sentence in this paragraph that says, faith did for me what I could not do for myself. I can't remove my own self-loathing. I wish I could. I have tried and tried. I have spent hundreds of dollars on self-help books, thousands of dollars on therapists. Everything you could possibly think of, I have tried to remove the self-loathing, and it is a bear that lives within me. And so I'm at the end of my rope, and the end of my rope is on my knees saying to God, it's up to you. And I, in that, the way I cooperate with God is faith, deep, deep faith that God can remove this self-loathing, that God's love for me is stronger than this self-loathing. And this self-loathing feels like the strongest thing in my entire life. It creates so much fear in me that it can be paralyzing. It can be absolutely paralyzing. But if I believe that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, then I'm going to turn to that power, who I call God, but I don't know what that power is. I don't know what it looks like, but I believe because I've seen it and I've heard it and I've even briefly experienced it myself, that when I cooperate with God and follow these steps, God will absolutely 100% heal my heart. And all I have to do is admit I'm powerless, come to believe that God can do what I can't do for myself, and then make the decision to turn my thoughts, my feelings, and behaviors over to the care of someone who loves me more than I love myself. Then I go on, I do 4 through 9, and then I live in 10, 11, and 12, and then I'm okay. Is it a lot of work? Yep. Is it worth it? Absolutely. It is worth it because I don't live in the hell of self-loathing anymore. Every day I wake up and I do 1 to 12 because I have to survive. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Kristen R. Kathy G., followed by Marilyn T.
Okay, thanks, Mo. This is Kathy G., grateful, recovered, and laughing compulsive overeater this morning. And I had to laugh this morning. Oh, and I have to laugh now as the garden guy across the street just started the hacksaw. I'm telling you, it's just a funny morning to me here today. But it started with the dog, and I'm going to link this to the reading. All of a sudden, I heard this laughter, and I was the only one in the house. And I realized that my puppy had found this laughing dog that I have. When things get really intense in the house, like let's say somebody's having a hard time, argument, whatever, sometimes we'll just take this laughing dog that rolls on the floor and laughs and like just throw it on the floor. And I just find that laughter can really break through things. Well, when I saw that our resentments are, you know, futile and fatal, I really think that that's how God views them. Come on, like, you know, this is not going to help you. Just come on over here. I got some steps for you. Just believe in me. And I think we can laugh with him at our resentments once we finish these steps, which is just such great news. Because now that I have finished the steps, as it says, I've begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even my enemies. And I would like to insert even myself. I can laugh at myself now, and I can forgive myself, you know, when I make mistakes or when I don't do things perfectly. And that is so huge for me. And that truly is something that God did for me that I could not do for myself, because I took myself so seriously before. And I also, I love the line that says, if we've gone through these steps, we have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about ourselves. And that's so true. I went through that fourth step. It took me a while, you know, and it took me a while to do all of the steps, but it was so worth it. And it doesn't mean when I've completed the steps that I'm 100%, you know, without any of these defects of character. It means that I'm on my way, because even this morning, I already had to make an apology. I was in my quiet time and had just gotten settled in out of my porch and listening to the birds and all this stuff. And it was kind of wet from the rain. And so my husband came out and I didn't get up and hug him goodbye. And I really like almost always do. But I thought, oh, I don't want to get my socks wet. And then once he left, I thought, oh, I want a do-over. I want to whip these socks off and jump up and hug him. So, you know, I made a mistake. And so I texted him a love note. And, you know, tonight I'll make sure I give him a good kiss and a good hug. And I can make up for that. But
thanks again for putting up with my squeaky puppy this morning. No disregard whatsoever to the 12 traditions. Love you all. Thanks, Mo. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Marilyn T., followed by Sherry K.B.
Thanks, Mo. This is Marilyn T. from Central California. I'm on reading the part that gets me is that page 71, we hope that you are now convinced that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. And if you have already made the decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. Because that's what this is on step four to me, is I have made a good beginning at identifying what is blocking me. And now I will go through in 8 and 9, I will make the list of people I need, places, things I need to make amends to. I will begin to change myself. And I will ask for God's guidance on how that is to be done. I will ask for God's guidance in everything, or higher power, whichever you believe in. I will ask for guidance from my higher power on how to direct my life now. I am no longer in charge. And quite frankly, thank God. It never went well. It will never go well when I am in charge. And it's nice to know that I need not fear any longer. I just need to read the steps, do the steps, use my, be thankful I have a guide through the steps. And as people have said, you will put down the food and that will be the least of your problems. That is the least of my problems, is putting down the food. More greatly is what goes on in the mind and working to unblock myself and the connection with my higher power, which is everything to me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn T., Sherry KB, and then we will open the lines up for more to share. Sherry, you're on.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. So good to be here. You know, these sentences on page 70, these are the four-step promises. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn, this is the real promise, we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look at them as sick people. You know, this is just, like it talked about, this is just the beginning, because what it is that we have a skill set now that we can use one day at a time for the rest of our lives to be able to work through not staying in resentment and fear. And that is amazing to me. That is, I don't know where anywhere else someone says, here are the instructions, Sherry, on how to live your life, and you don't have to live them any longer in fear, doubt, insecurity, restless, irritable, and discontent. And when it's talking about the grosser handicaps, to me it's talking about the resentments and the fear and the guilt and remorse. And what a beautiful thing here, another promise. God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you from him. Wow. I mean, that is amazing to me. That's just mind-boggling, because, you know, resentments are about refilling the past. It's about constantly refilling the past, and the past hurts. And so with that, working with my higher power, they get removed. And when I did a thorough four-step, they were removed. And that things I thought I'd take to the grave with me were removed from my higher power, because there was no way that I could do that myself. I just want to refer to another page. I love this book, because it constantly reminds me throughout the book, even in the stories, throughout the book. I mean, I always get reminded that love, patience, and tolerance is now my code. And so that's what I need to live with. And if I can't practice the principles in all my affairs, then I limit my affairs. That's what I've learned to do. And I turn to God for help. And that is, like, you know, the biggest wow. I mean, that's like the chairman of the board to me. I get to turn to God for help. God will help me with anything. On page 468, paragraph 1, this starts with line 8, it says, I was shown some questions. The answers to these questions provided me with the knowledge about my reactions to the conditions in my life. Every response to every resentment, real or imagined, had been sick and self-destructive. I was allowing others to control my sense of well-being and behavior. I came to understand that the behavior and opinions and thoughts of others were none of my business. The only business I was to be concerned about was my own. Wow. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Perfect timing. And for those of you that came on the line a little bit later, we are on page 70, the third paragraph. If we have been thorough, reading through two paragraphs, ending with chunks of truth about yourself, and the comments are on both. And I'll now open the lines up for those of you who'd like to share on this second round.
Ginger
C. O.
Ginger
Michelle L.
C.
Reggie O.
Michelle.
Patty T.
Patty T, was that?
Yes.
Rebecca T.
Okay, Patty T. Rebecca. Rebecca, I didn't get your last initial.
T.
I can take C?
T as in Tom.
Tom, okay. All right, I have Ginger C, Reggie O, Michelle, I didn't get your last initial, Patty T, and Rebecca T. We'll start with Ginger C.
Hi, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your continued service. This is Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And, just love that we're here, we're in the fourth step, and it's telling me that this is just a beginning. You know, and I love that because to me, all 12 steps are about humility. You know, thank God I finally got out of ideas. I set aside what I thought I knew, and I was open to a new experience. But, you know, it says, you know, we know only a little, you know, and I just pray that I always keep with that mentality. I don't want to know. No. And that's what have a higher power that works for me today if I work for that higher power, if I stay close and connected. So thank God it's just a daily reprieve. You know, we're washing, rinsing, repeating again yet another day for these 12 hours that we're awake, doing our best to be of service because that's my job each and every day. How can I best serve you, God? How can I help another? How can I think less of me and more of you? And I'm all about my ego. I did a 10-step at 6 o'clock this morning. You know, it's crazy. This ego just does not want to go away. So, again, thank God for this beautiful work. And, you know, I feel like I'm a ship liner. You know, I was barreling down, just going at such great speeds, like this tornado that the book talks about, wreaking havoc, rolling over people, you know. And because God loves me so much, God just got my attention. Liner do to turn back to return home. You know, that's what each and every one of us is doing, is returning back to this perfect source of love. God is everything, and with God anything is possible. But it takes time. That ship doesn't turn on a dime. It has to slow down first. And then the rudders start to turn slowly. So it's a process, you know, it's a perfect process, imperfectly doing it as well. And that's what I get to really have love and acceptance that I'm doing the best each and every day, but I am returning home. That ship is with God a day at a time. And I'm so grateful that I see my answer is that God is everything today. And I just keep on trudging with you. So grateful to be here. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Ginger C. Reggie O, followed by Michelle.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. This is Reggie O, very grateful to recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, I first want to say I appreciate the laughter. You know, it really gives me some perspective, you know, because here, you know, we've just completed the fourth step. We've unloaded a lot. You know, when I did it, that was the big beginning of the unload. But it reminds me, you know, the inventory. It's like writing the inventory, you know, fact-facing, fact-finding process. And I began that, you know, many, many years ago in my first OA meeting when I got a sponsor. got a food plan, and I had to start inventorying the food I was eating. I had to start inventorying labels and packages and things I had never done. I thought it was crazy and wild, you know, but, and I was fascinated, you know. I ate pretty healthily when I was eating well and not eating compulsively. So I didn't realize that, you know, many of these foods that I was eating, very healthy foods, actually had ingredients that triggered my allergy. So I started that inventory process early on, and I got, you know, and that's, you know, the first step to the principle is honesty. And then I move through and I, you know, get some kind of a relationship with a higher power that I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to. And I take this action, you know, and it reminds me, you know, I love that fact-finding, fact-facing, because the things I write down, you know, in that first column are filled with emotion, are filled with experience, are filled with story, are filled with feelings. And I can't always, you know, I haven't always been able to divorce myself from that part of the inventory to get to fact, you know, to get to just the facts. But the closer that I can do that, the clearer it helps me to become, you know, for the rest of the steps and also in my life. And, but, you know, this is like another bridge. It reminds me of that bridge, you know, we crossed the bridge, you know, to the shore of willingness. And then there was that last step. For a long time, I felt like there's a bridge in the fourth step. And the bridge is, okay, these are my resentments. This is why I have the resentments toward these people or institutions or principles or whatever. This is how my beautiful God-given instincts have been distorted. And then I get by these resentments. And then I get to walk across to the shore, which is I leave that entirely behind to look at my part, you know, my part. Where was I selfish? Where was I dishonest? Where was I self-seeking? Where was I fearful? Because it's there that my freedom lies. You know, I can't do anything about those, you know, anyone on the other side of this bridge of the fourth step. What I get to do is see what my part is, and that's where my freedom is, you know. And it's challenging. It's challenging, especially early on, because I have to face my shame, knowing that I'm going to be sharing this with another human being, you know, in the fifth step. And there was a lot of that for me, you know. I've had a lot of shame in my life. It was, you know, and that's what part of what I get to be free of. So, but I'm. At this point, I'm getting this honesty that I started in the first step with my food. I'm starting to get it with myself. You know, I'm starting to see the futility. I'm starting to see, wow, I'm not this helpless, hopeless victim. You know, I have a part, and I can do something about that. And I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you, Reggio. Michelle, if you give me the initial of your last name, followed by Patty T.
Hi, thank you. Yes, it's L.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. I'm really enjoying the meeting. This is Michelle L., recovered compulsive overeater in Delaware. And somebody said something a few minutes ago about a deep sense of self-loathing that they experienced. And I remembered coming into the rooms for the first time about 5 years ago into a face-to-face meeting and just crying. And I remember saying, I don't understand why I'm abusing myself with food. Why am I doing this to myself? And wow, what a process it's been in realizing the why doesn't matter. I've got this thing, and where do I go from here, and how do I recover? And the step work is so powerful, and there is so much freedom in seeing my part, and with putting down the food, I start to be able to see my role more clearly, and I feel the awareness comes in, and it's an interesting process. It's not always immediate for me. Generally, sometimes I don't realize I have a resentment. I'm such a good faker. I'm really good at everything's okay, and, you know, carry on, sweep it under the rug and keep moving. And I did that last night at a funeral service, and my daughter did not respond. She did not give the appropriate condolence that I thought she should to the daughter of the man who died. And I was embarrassed. Me, my ego, my pride, fear, my good enough mom. What are they going to think of me? Because she's, you know, she's a teenager, whatever. And, but the interesting thing is it's only sometimes, it doesn't come immediately either. It didn't, it just popped into my head this morning because I was revisiting the exchange and what happened. And I, even though I did my 11th step last night, it still wasn't until this morning that I thought, oh yeah, that's a resentment. I'm revisiting it. It's I'm re-experiencing it. And I pretty much knew what the 10th step was, but I called someone else and did it and checked in. And that's really useful for me because I'm still practicing this new skill. And picking up the phone is a practice. Sharing on meetings is a practice. And being responsible for my emotional well-being is a practice too. And then I can turn the fear over to my higher power, and always I'm relying on my finite self and not an infinite higher power. And I can think of some corrective action to take possibly. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle L. Patty T. followed by Rebecca T.
Hi, thank you, Mo. This is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, as much as I could not wait to get off the call yesterday for the for the two paragraphs we were reading, I would love this meeting to be extended another 2 hours. This paragraph or these two paragraphs really outline what has happened in my life in the last 6 weeks. You know, after doing my fourth step, you know, really beginning to comprehend the futility and fatality of my resentment, really understanding that, you know, it's not just the food that'll kill me. That crap between my ears will kill me. You know, the evidence of that is in society everywhere. And, but to really get that, to really understand and comprehend it for myself is something that, you know, I couldn't do on my own. And, you know, we commit to see their terrible destructiveness. And then we begin to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look at them as sick people. There have been two or three incidences since I came back in my new abstinence and started working the steps with these fellows, you, all of you, that this has come up, you know? And each time I do that 10th step, I realize, oh, I have to be patient. I have to be tolerant. I have to, it's not personal. You know, I have to wish them well. I go do that forgiveness prayer. And then I go help somebody else. You know, that is my way out of it. That is the only way out of it. Because the more I think about it, the more it becomes a thicker, wonderful soup to drown in. And then, you know, listing people we've hurt by our conduct and willing to straighten out the past if we can. Oh my gosh, that's, you know, that's something my ego really didn't want me to touch ever. You know, the past is the past. But of course, I couldn't get out of the past. I kept staying there and I kept eating. So willingness, it's like the word willing is almost in every page of this book. And then this line is so, then it turns to hope. It just completely says, this is what we've done and now here's the hope. Again and again, you read in this book that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you're convinced that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. And that has been my experience. 6 years ago when I relapsed, I was angry at God. I was angry at myself. I was angry at being duped. I was, oh, I was just so angry. And I did. I held my hand out like a stop, you know, like a traffic
time.
And I'll wrap up. But now I'm willing to open up to God and let Him do for me what I can't do for myself. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Yes, thank you, Patty T. Rebecca T., you're on.
Hi, good morning. Love all your shares. It's Rebecca T. from Central California, currently in Washington. Love all your analogies. When it's said here, we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill, and look at them as sick people. That really, really helped me for a while because I was on the very highest top pedestal I can place myself in martyrdom. And I thought that I can, help all the other ones that were, quote, suffering. Didn't have much tolerance or patience. I thought I did. I really did think I did. I have it. I had it up until, whenever my measurement was passed. So up until whatever number I gave you, and then if you pass that, then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to tolerate you anymore. So helping to, when I said, okay, they're sick, like I am sick, that gave me permission to, and a reminder that I am just on the same level that you are, and that I can, I have, whatever it is they've done to me, I used to always say, I would have never done that to anybody else ever, But then I thought, and maybe not, but then I thought, well, also, I've done things to other people that I'm sure they also would have never done either. So that helps me put me on this earth with everybody else. And then at the end it said, that being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. I love that because, it does seem like a lot. And I'm thinking if I'm swallowing a big chunk, that's kind of uncomfortable. It sometimes can get stuck if I want to think about an analogy like that. And it was painful and it did get stuck when I was looking at all my resentments and my fears and my character defects. Just like all of you have said, there's just amazing, beautiful tools. And this program that I keep excitedly every morning get up and wake up to, and you fellows that keep reaching out to me and I keep reaching out to you, and it's just such a beautiful, closest to God experience that I've ever had on this earth, and now spiritually I'm growing closer as well. And one last thing, in order to not take all of these resentments and carry them with me and then kind of being upset that they haven't all been removed, another member said at a meeting, she said, yeah, but, we can only fit so much in the dump truck, and I love that. So can't fit so, and that made me feel better because then that's cool. That's why we can only fit so much in the dump truck, wait till it comes back and then we'll fill it up again. So with that, I'll pass. Take care, all of you. Bye.
Thank you, Rebecca T. And we have time for one more person to share on this paragraph. Who would like to share?
Jordan L.
Jordan. All right, Jordan. You go.
Okay, cool. Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a compulsive overeater from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. And thank you, everyone, for sharing this morning. I've really enjoyed it. And I just wanted to add one more sort of quick thing, and that was that, number one, the most effectual thing that I saw in this four-step for me was all those resentments down together, like all in one place, right? Because when it comes to resentments, and me playing them over and over and over and over and over again in my head, I can only see one of them at a time, and I really didn't think they were all that bad until I got them all down in one place at the same time and can look at them all together and was like, holy smokes, this absolutely consumes me. every single moment of every single day, you know? And that's kind of where I began to comprehend that futility and fatality. And then the other part was seeing, like I had tried to get rid of all this stuff myself. I had tried to be a better person. I had tried really, really, really hard, like giving it my best, my all. I had tried over and over and over again. and these resentments were still consuming me, you know? So it was like, it was a really big deal for me to start to have a little faith that like God could change my heart. That was my prayer. Once I got to the end of this four step, because I knew I couldn't do it myself. I had tried. I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't just like will myself into being a better person. Like my only shot at this, at getting rid of some of these resentments, was a power greater than myself, you know? So the giant spiritual experiment continues. Anyway, that's all I got. Thanks.
And thank you, Jordan L. And thank you all those who shared this morning and for the laughter that we had. That was kind of fun. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Stephanie L. to read a vision for you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you